Hello, everyone, and welcome to the American Ninja Warrior Wrap-Up Podcast. I have a very special episode for you today. I am joined with the champion of Team Ninja Warrior College Madness Edition, Zach Kemmerer. Zach, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I really appreciate you having me on, Taryn. I'm really excited to talk about some stuff today.
Well, this is like an interesting scenario for me because you actually listened to our Team Ninja Warrior recap podcast and reached out to us, which was awesome. And I think we also called you a ringer in that podcast. So.
I think you guys said a lot of things about me in that podcast, none of which was really that positive.
I think we is a little bit of an overstatement. I think that might have been a little bit more on Taryn's side.
Yes, yes. And I'm also joined by the amazing Lita. Lita, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm happy to be here with Zach, despite some tension. Right off the bat.
So this is the podcast where we tell Taryn why he was wrong about all the things that he said. So you enjoyed the podcast, Zach.
Yeah, no, it was great. I laughed. I really enjoyed your insight into some of the other teams. I thought you guys made a lot of really great points, and it was accessible for someone who's not competing, someone who doesn't know much about the show. It was a good recap.
Oh, thank you. That means a lot. Okay, so you are called the Science Ninja, and as any listener to this podcast knows, I love science. How did you get that nickname?
Yeah. So definitely gave it to myself, but it seems appropriate. I studied chemistry in undergrad at UPenn, and then I went on for a master's, and now I'm getting my PhD in biochemistry. I actually study mitochondria, and that's why on the back of my shirt I have Powered by Mitochondria, and I'm just a big science enthusiast.
That's awesome. Or do you have like a specific goal in mind or a specific area of study that you're looking into?
It's hard to say. I mean, I really love biochemistry. So chemistry was a little too dry for me. And I mean, have you ever really met someone who likes organic chemistry? It's tough. It's like that one class in undergraduate that you avidly avoid. But once you threw in the biology with the chemistry, it just became so much more accessible for me. And you know, personally, I love the mechanism behind the science. It's just a puzzle that's never ending. And I feel like I can do some good for someone somewhere.
Yeah, it's a really awesome. Important time to be a scientist, especially today.
So how long have you been a fan of the show, of American Ninja Warrior?
Whew, that's a good question. I watched it all the time in undergrad. So I guess it was like American Ninja Warrior 3, 4. I would watch the show. It was a way for me to relax when I was cutting weight and stuff. But at the time, all I did was wrestling and school. I mean, I didn't have time for anything else. And the same thing sort of applied when I was getting my master's. So I was a fan for a number of years, but I never had that in. I never had that open door to get into the sport. It wasn't until I came out to Wisconsin that some of those opportunities started to present themselves.
What were those opportunities that came up?
I mean, there's actually nothing in Wisconsin right now. There are no ninja gyms in Wisconsin. So it was actually really difficult, but it all started with a phone call. I called my brother one day, and he's equally as athletic as I am. And we just decided like, hey, we're going to do this. You know, my brother is a mixed martial artist. We both have backgrounds in wrestling, and we just decided like, hey, this is something we might be good at. Let's find a way to do it. And then it was just, going to gyms on campus and playing on monkey bars and just really getting creative with our training.
That's awesome. So you mentioned wrestling. I looked you up a little bit. You're like a champion wrestler, right? Like you are very decorated.
I guess you could say that.
Well, that's what I read online.
I mean, I don't want to toot my horn too much, but yeah, I grew up in Pennsylvania. They have pretty good wrestling there. Yeah, PA. You got to love I-76. It's the best road in the entire country.
Oh, we're about to get really regional, Taryn.
But no, I wrestled in Pennsylvania. I started when I was 5. I had a really successful career in high school. I was a 2-time state champ. I have the win record still, which I'm very proud of. And then I went on to college where I was an All-American my junior season.
Do you feel like any aspect of that, other than just like general athleticism, contributed toward your interest or your success in Ninja Warrior?
I would say, yeah, like you were saying, general athleticism, sure. Like you need a lot of different physical attributes to be a good wrestler. But I think more importantly than that, it's the mental game. You know, I don't think there's any sport out there, and I know I'm biased, but I don't think there's any sport out there that prepares you mentally like wrestling does. Because not only are you going up against someone else who wants to inflict damage on you, but you got to deal with a weight cut. And that, oh God, I hate cutting weight. It is the bane of my existence.
How often are you training for Ninja Warrior stuff?
So this is actually, I think, an interesting point, because you guys really labeled me as this big asterisk on the show. And I want to take this opportunity to briefly defend myself. You know, you have super fans on this show that have been submitting videos since they were 14. Like Luke Adams, he's been doing this for years. Same thing with our, you know, the fan favorite, Tomas. He's a stud. He's been doing this for years, training with the best guys out there. He's an amazing individual. I really like him. I can't wait to train with him myself. But I just got into this. And at the point of competition, I had been training ninja consistently for about 6 months. So I'm newbie. I'm totally a newbie. And that's how I regard myself. And I'm always trying to learn. I'm trying to sponge from people around me. And you know, I don't know much about this game yet. I'm still new. But yeah, I would say I train like probably 3 or 4 times a week. You know, I try and train, you know, every other day, let my body rest and then get back after it.
That's really interesting.
So I think, you know, because you're so new to this, a lot of people would be really interested in hearing how this team formed. How did you meet your teammates, and, you know, what was the process like of getting you guys together?
So it was really an organic process. I would like to say that it was intentional and that we had this grand plan in mind, but I think it happened really organically. And, you know, when you take risks, opportunities present themselves that you wouldn't previously have. So, I mean, I somehow got on the show. I still don't understand why they put me on American Ninja Warrior 8, but that's really what connected me with Andrew. You know, Andrew had also applied. He almost got on, but not quite. And when I started promoting for like viewing parties and stuff, he's like, hey, we should hook up and train. So him and I got together. We were training a bit. We became friends. And then this advertisement came out for Team Ninja Warrior College Madness. And both our eyes just lit up. It's like, I don't even know if I'm eligible. But if I'm eligible, we should totally do this. You know, the whole like graduate student thing, I didn't know if that would fly. So that was the first hurdle, is like making sure they would allow this asterisk to compete. But yeah, once that happened, he actually had a friend, you know, a good friend of his, Taylor, who was roommates with his former girlfriend, and, you know, their ex-girlfriend at this point, so it's kind of a touchy subject, but he already knew Taylor, and he knew how good she was and how much potential she had, and it was just an obvious fit. And then the first time we were in the room together, you know, I've talked about this a bunch of times, but we just have this very unique chemistry. You know, our personalities work well together. Our athletic energies really feed off one another. And, you know, it really just came to light like fast.
That's awesome. So what was your experience in Indianapolis for American Ninja Warrior 8?
Oh my God. So I was not ready for ANW 8. I remember the moment I got the call. You know, everyone talks about seeing their phone and seeing that 818 number light up, and they just lose their mind. And I lost my mind. I was in lab, and it was great. And then, you know, the first person I called was my girlfriend. I was like, hell yeah, I'm going to be on the show. I have 3 weeks to get ready. That's probably not enough time, but I'm going to try. But yeah, being there, it was surreal. You know, I was a fan of the show for the longest time, and I knew the names, and I knew, you know, how people had done over the past couple of years. And then all of a sudden you're standing side by side with, you know, Brian Arnold and Jake Murray. And in the stands, you see Casey and Brent and Samson, Daniel Gill, they're all there. And it's just a really surreal experience to go from the couch to the course. And, you know, I don't know if I was ready for that. I also wasn't ready for the all-nighter that you have to pull.
Yeah.
they don't tell you about that when you're applying. And honestly, it just messed me up. I'm not a night owl at all. I go to bed at like 9 p.m.
So Taryn, you can relate.
I wake up at, you know, 6 a.m. I get my work in, I go to bed at 9 p.m. So when they're telling me that filming's going to start at 9 p.m. and go all night long, oh God, I was dying.
How long did you wait until you got to do your run?
So it was probably the, you know, worst case scenario for me. The weather was awful. I'm sure you've heard about this, but it was raining both days in Indianapolis. And with the new floating steps, the first obstacle, you know, they didn't show that, but, you know, I would say of the first like 30 runners, that first obstacle had like a 75% kill rate.
Oh my God.
And most of them were walk-ons, and it was really sad to see that happen, but it was just so wet. The conditions were awful. So it's raining all night, and that, you know, I'm like sitting next to a piece of truss with an umbrella over my head for like 2 hours, just trying to stay calm and like not freak out that Casey's like talking 5 feet away from me. I'm like, oh my God, but wait, I got to focus on my run. So the first night you're supposed to do the qualifier, and it's like 2 a.m. I'm three people away from running, and I'm getting like jacked up. Oh my God, such an adrenaline rush. I'm like stretching out. I'm doing these long strides for like the floating step things. And the next thing you know, like a huge flash of lightning goes and they have to cancel everything.
Oh man.
So they only filmed half a show that first night. The second night they had to do a show and a half. So I got this huge rush at like 2-3 in the morning, and then I had to go home, you know, try and sleep and then get up and do it all over again the next day. That was crazy. So, you know, the second night, I'm one of the first people to run and I walk through the course. I'm stoked. Like, hell yeah. I just breezed through the first six obstacles. I'm thinking in my head, like, I'm going to Vegas because I know I can do obstacles 7 through 10. And then like 4 a.m. when I'm doing the finals run, I totally neglected the very first obstacle. And I had 5 seconds on the course. That's it. That's all she wrote.
So I imagine it was pretty slippery. Was it just that you slipped, or did you?
I think I might have slipped a little bit, but I just, you can't disrespect any of the obstacles. Even if you've done it 100 times, which I hadn't at that point, you know, you can't neglect anything. It's one obstacle at a time. And if you don't do that, you're going to make a mistake.
Yeah, I can only imagine. You know, I've always kind of wondered, because what happened was in the episode, you got put in a montage and Matt says these funny things about everyone that fails in a montage. So I've always wondered, like, what you think of this funny thing that's being said about you. Do you remember what it was?
I don't. I tried to look away from the TV when that happened. I knew it was coming. I had the secret for months. I organized a viewing party and all my friends had to watch me fall on the very first obstacle.
Oof. Yeah, I mean, that must be. Do you want to know what it was?
Yeah, please tell me.
You were the biochemistry student who discovered H2O at the floating steps.
That was literally going to be my guess.
I was going to guess.
It had to be something about H2O. Had to be.
Oh, that kills. Oh, Matt. At least it wasn't Akbar.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's true. The Matt-isms have a little more dignity, I feel like.
Yeah. I can own up to that and walk away from it, you know, not totally scarred and broken.
Yeah. I mean, it really, this show, it happens to everyone. And I think, you know, you have now in the future proven yourself to be very capable. So I don't think it's anything to be ashamed of in any respect, really.
No, I mean, when something like that happens to you, where you fall prematurely, you just hope that it's not a death wish, that, you know, you get another shot. And fortunately, I was given another opportunity with Team Ninja Warrior. And that was the fuel behind my training and my competition, is like, I'm getting another shot. I might not get another one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think with Team Ninja Warrior, from a viewer perspective, a lot of the time it seems like a lighter, maybe less competitive environment, but also at the same time, I'm a college athlete, and I know that something about putting on that Block M and representing your school rather than just yourself can, it you know, makes it about something else. So did you feel a ton of pressure during Team Ninja Warrior in a way that you didn't for American Ninja Warrior, or was it comparable?
Yeah, it's definitely a different kind of pressure like you were describing. And I would say it's as much, if not more, because despite the regular show being such a hit, there weren't a ton of people that knew about my participation in it. You know, it was my family, it was my girlfriend, it was a very small group of people. And I was a blip on a radar. No one even knew that I existed. So it's like, I got nothing to lose. With this, the university knew. You know, we had tons of people from the university that were cheering us on. They were expecting big things. You know, Wisconsin has this legacy of athletic excellence. So yeah, there was a lot of weight there. And then on top of it, you know, being the captain of the team, you know, there were expectations from my two teammates. I didn't want to let them down. And they were looking to me for guidance and for, you know, this path to victory. So yeah, there was a lot of pressure. And then like if you lose to, you know, Michigan or an Ohio State, oh God, that would hurt so bad.
Oh, I can't imagine losing to Ohio State.
We had to endure some of that this year for the football season. So,
oh yeah.
So was it this pressure that got you involved in the steroid cheese?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, there was definitely a high expectation for us, and sometimes you gotta pull out all the tricks. You know, if you're not cheating, you're not trying.
Performance enhancing cheese.
Please don't quote me.
Watch out, kids.
Don't quote me on that.
If you didn't listen to the previous podcast, you probably have no idea what just happened. Wisconsin cheese, you'll get it. So how confident were you going into the competition? Did you feel like I feel really comfortable with my team? I feel like we're really strong, like we're going to do well?
Yeah, I would say overall, I felt confident. I didn't know what the level of competition was going to be when we got out there, but you know, I knew that we were a very cohesive group and we were a very capable group. Just, you know, for example, the first time that Taylor was on obstacles, she had never touched obstacles before, and she was on obstacles maybe like two or three times before she got to Team Ninja Warrior. But the first time she tried it, we were in this basement, you know, the basement that I train in all the time, this guy, Fred Bartman. But he's got like a dope setup. I love it. You know, I wouldn't be where I am without it. So Taylor gets up and she's trying a 6-inch cannonball, and she just like jungles right through it one armed. And that might not mean a lot to you, but that's a move that even 5-6 months into my training, like with my success and stuff, I'm not comfortable doing that. I was like, dang, you're a natural. Like you got it. We put her in front of a warped wall over the summer over at Drew Knapp's place, and it took her a few tries, but you know, after like 5 or 6 tries, she was up the warped wall. It's just like, she's a natural. You know, I felt really confident about her ability. And then I had trained a little more extensively with Andrew, and I knew he was phenomenal. You know, in my opinion, he was the best non-captain there. You know, he was definitely the best number two guy out there. And he, you know, him and I go back and forth. And I just had absolute confidence in both of them. We were hoping to see Team Alabama. And I don't know if you guys heard about Team Alabama or not. So there was this unfortunate mix-up where Team Alabama was going to be out there. And then you guys wouldn't have been able to call me the only asterisk because Casey Suhaki came out of the Southeast region. He was leading up that team. And, you know, that was a name that I knew. I was like, this is going to be fun. Let's do this. Mm-hmm. Like, I know what you're capable of doing. Like, let's go head to head. That's going to be awesome. Unfortunately, there, you know, last minute, there was like this weird thing between the university and Team Ninja Warrior. And, you know, that team got pulled. You know, there was some disagreement and they got pulled. So they actually had to fly in another team and to fill that spot. But it would have been really cool to race someone at that high level. But even with him not being there, you know, Team MIT had tons of talent. And you got a bunch of people coming out of the woodworks, like Will Smithy from Texas A&M. You know, Doug Legg was phenomenal.
Yeah.
I mean, he literally carried that team and he was a beast. And, you know, I was really impressed with Mateus Awadi from Team Houston. I don't necessarily agree with their decision for the relay, but, you know, he's someone definitely to look for in the future.
Yeah. So do Taylor and Andrew have aspirations to do more American Ninja Warrior and maybe to try out for the real show?
Yeah, absolutely. Taylor is a little, her situation is difficult. She's a college athlete. Mm-hmm. And she's one of the top pole vaulters in the country. She did really well in the Big Tens and her conference. She made it to nationals last year as a sophomore, and she's planning on doing bigger and better things this year. So that's obviously priority number one for her. You know, she's looking to win a national championship. Andrew is a senior, and he's like me. Like, he just can't get enough of Ninja Warrior. He definitely applied for NW9, and him and I are actually, we have some things in the works that we might also be teaming up for. But we've definitely talked about like doing well on the show and maybe getting a slot on regular Team Ninja Warrior as a team there.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that because I feel like that would be great, right? Like, you know, the winner of the college edition goes on to compete with the regular edition people. Like, yeah. I feel like they have to do that.
Yeah, that would be amazing. You know, we would have no qualms about that whatsoever. Bring it on.
So when you're competing, when you're doing these legs against a competitor, how aware are you of the person you're competing with? Do you just try to focus on the obstacles, or do you try to make sure you're aware of where they are at all times?
It's a fine balance. You have to have spatial awareness, and you have to have this, sense of where they are on the course. You know, fortunately for us, most of the time it wasn't too big of a deal. We were just cruising through, doing our thing, focusing on, going through the obstacles like we want to, and that put our competitor in the rearview mirror. But there were plenty of times where, Andrew had a race that was decided by like a tenth of a second. I had my race with Doug Legg that was less than a tenth of a second. And I will tell you flat out that me and Charlie in that final race against MIT, we were staring at each other the entire rope climb. Like, that was so stressful. Like, I got one or two pulls in, and I'm like, oh man, I'm tired. I'm real tired. And I have like 35 feet to go. And him and I are just like staring at each other through that window. Like, it was clear plexiglass between the two ropes.
Yeah.
So it was nuts. Like, we were staring at each other the entire time. So it's hard not to notice them at that point.
Did you feel like, because they were way ahead coming into that final leg, right? So you had to make up a lot of ground. Did you feel like you were going to be able to make that up?
I have no idea. Like, I'm still blown away with how that happened. You know, Taylor, Andrew, and I, we've watched the episode a couple of times now. You know, they sent it to us so we could watch it on repeat. And I think we were 15 seconds behind after Taylor's leg. You know, Tomas was the fastest guy there.
Yeah.
And they were on the warped wall before our second leg started. So somehow Andrew and I made up 15 seconds. Andrew's a beast. And I have no idea how he like ran as fast as he did. But I was just standing at the top of the warped wall thinking like, well, we had a good run. I guess we'll have to settle for second place. But, Andrew and Taylor, both in high school, they couldn't win a championship. So Taylor got second in her track competitions. Andrew was a runner up in wrestling and also, I think, cross country. So, there was like this urgency to like get them a victory. And I just wanted to try and pull off the impossible. And I had such a clean run. I just can't explain how we were able to overcome that.
That's awesome. So if you do get onto American Ninja Warrior 9 this summer, do you feel like you're going to have more pressure on you because of your success in Team Ninja Warrior?
I would guess so. Yeah, I would think so. It was a little unfortunate that Team Ninja Warrior didn't get more attention. Part of the reason being that it's on Esquire, not NBC. But yeah, I have personal expectations. And I think more people know about me now. So yeah, the expectations are definitely going to be there.
Yeah. And I feel like it's got to provide for a great package, right? They can be like, undefeated in Team Ninja Warrior College Madness Edition, like build up the hype.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. We're trying to give them the story to, feed to America. But, at the end of the day, those expectations are out the window. And really, I'm just focusing on my own goals. And I honestly believe I have the tools to beat the entire thing. Like, that is my goal. So get to the top of Mount Midoriyama in the fastest time of anyone that season.
Yeah. Well, I hope we get to see you do it. Yeah. Are you doing anything special to prepare right now?
So I guess the saying that captures the way I go about my training right now is, make your weaknesses your strengths. So it's just a matter of identifying where I'm not quite as strong as I want to be and working on them relentlessly. I've been doing a lot more climbing. I'm really working on like finger strength and, obviously balance. You don't want to go out on anything like that, but I'm just out there trying to meet people, trying to train with the best and, learn as much as I can.
Who have you trained with?
So I've actually had the privilege of training with a number of the Wolfpack members. I got to train with Brian Arnold, Noah Kaufman, Ian Dory. I got to check out their setup out in Fort Collins. It was amazing. I visit Denver a lot because my girlfriend's out there. So, that's awesome. I get to train with Jake Murray quite a bit. while I'm out in Denver. And then there's actually a really, really strong group of people that are here in Wisconsin and even in Minnesota. So like Drew Knopp is someone that I get to train with a lot. And even though his performance didn't show it last year, he is an absolute animal. And, you know, he's going to have a breakout year at some point. You know, it is just nuts. And then there's a bunch of talented people out in Minnesota that I get to train with as well.
Oh, that's awesome.
Do you have any stories from the competition or from training that you want to share?
So there was this one point in the competition that, you know, I was a little scared. So we go through that first episode and we managed to make it to the finals and we're going up against Maryland. And, you know, unlike the regular Ninja Warrior, for Team Ninja Warrior, they give you like one pass to try some of the obstacles. So most of the teams got at least one chance at trying all the obstacles, seeing how they felt. Because, you know, at the end of the day, they want this to be a race. They want people to succeed and they want it to be a race. So once we got to the final relay, they left us try those final three obstacles. And no one's going to climb 40-foot rope. Like, you don't need to do that. You know what that feels like. You know it's going to suck. But the salmon ladder and the pole graspers, we got a chance to try that. So me and Marcus, the captain from Maryland, were like looking up at the pole graspers. They're talking to us about the rules and regulations. And then they always have someone demonstrate some of the stuff. So one of the guys from the ATS team, the obstacle course design team, he gets up there and he tries it. And he's like flying through it. Then all of a sudden you see him like kind of slip. And then all of a sudden he's in the water. It's like, are you serious? The guys who designed this course can't make it through this course? Like,
not a good omen.
Yeah, like, how hard is this thing? So, like, Marcus and I were waiting there. It's like, well, I guess we should probably get some other clothes. Like, we only get wet right before this relay. So they're, like, scrambling. They're on their headphones and walkie-talkies trying to get us a pair of shorts and stuff. We're, like, changing the back just before we try this. And it was mentally kind of daunting. It's like, this guy can't do it. Like, what makes me any better, any, you know, different? Like, I'm going to fall in this. So that was kind of scary. Fortunately, I was able to do it. But that was an interesting moment. there were a bunch of little things that happened in the background. But I wish it would have showed this one piece of B-roll for our team. So the B-roll stuff is like crazy. It's just like kind of ridiculous. You know, we all have to do like athletic stuff. And, you know, I guess I was doing like backflip, back handspring. You know, Taylor has a gymnastics background. And then there's Andrew, who like, he's super athletic, but he can't do anything like visually appealing. So he's climbing a tree. It's like, you're climbing a tree? Seriously? But then they have us do like team stuff where we're like trying to highlight our personalities and stuff. So there's this one bit of Andrew and I like on our knees having a thumb war and like we're doing this thumb war and we're supposed to stop, you know, because they're filming, they're trying to take photos and stuff. Like, we need to stop and Andrew's still going. And then in the background, they have Taylor up on a wall, like laying down almost in like a beach pose. She's just fluttering her legs. And she's like, yeah, I see exactly what you guys are trying to do with our team. Like, she's the diva and we're the two idiots in front. I get it. And I mean, there's just a bunch of stuff like that was happening throughout the day, but it was a phenomenal experience being out there.
Yeah, that's awesome. We got some questions from the listeners.
Cool, cool.
Yeah, specifically for you. Gwen from Twitter asks, what was the application process or tryouts like? How was your school selected?
So there aren't tryouts, which, you know, some people might be upset about, but the application process is very similar to that of American Ninja Warrior in that you fill out a very extensive written portion, and then the main piece of the application is putting together a video, you know, 3 minutes in length describing you as a person, you know, your story briefly, and then your teammates and showing that you're athletically capable of doing these obstacles. For this one specifically, we really need to play up school spirit, which being from a Big Ten school, that's the easiest thing in the world.
Yep.
I mean, this school bleeds, breathes, eats, sleeps red and white. Like, that's Badger stuff is everywhere. Game day, this town is painted red.
Yeah.
I can relate so much.
And Wisconsin is massive. I mean, even for a Big Ten school.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, we have the luxury of having this big city surrounding us. And then, you know, obviously the entire state pours into the city on game day. It's amazing.
So Mike Brett asks, what changes, if any, would you make to the team format? So do you like the way that they do the points or number of people, stuff like that?
Ooh, that's a good question. I haven't given that much thought. I thought the format was actually pretty good. I like the idea that, you know, you can have a slip up and still come back. I like the idea that, you know, the captain run is worth a little more than the others. I think the one change that I might make is that if it's a tie, the person who just ran shouldn't be able to run again. That way it really makes it a team effort, that you need to have a complete team to advance from bracket round to the finals. But outside of that, you know, it's kind of a self-correcting system. You know, I think like the strong teams, most of the strong teams made it into the finals, and then only the strongest teams were able to succeed in the relay. Like, you were forced to have a complete squad to win this competition.
Yeah, I think Taryn and I both totally co-sign that that relay rule that you have to mix it up for the tiebreaker.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, it's exciting. I don't know. I might actually like it more than the individual show. Like, the team format is just, it's pretty fun.
Yeah, we've heard that a lot, actually.
Yeah.
It seems very fun. Like, even just like from a viewing standpoint, you know, being able to see these obstacles be done in a very like fast, energetic manner, as opposed to like the more steady, measured take of the regular show. It's very exciting. And I think there's a place for both of them, obviously, but it seems like it would be more fun to compete for sure.
It's pretty similar to something that's coming up in April, and I don't know if you want to touch on that, but the Wolfpack Ninja Tour. That's going to be head-to-head racing. It's not going to be a team format, but you know, it's going to have a lot of similarities, just in a different arena with different competitors, with a few more prizes at the end of the road.
Yeah, we've had a couple of Wolfpack folks come on the podcast, and they're awesome, and we've talked about the Wolfpack tour. It seems like it's going to be really fun. I wish I could go. I considered it, but we're actually going to Vegas instead for the finals of ANW9.
That's a tough choice.
Yeah. I only have so much vacation time. But yeah, I mean, anybody in that area should check it out, and hopefully they'll be coming to other cities at some point.
Yeah, no, I was just talking to Noah this morning. He says hi. He had great things to say about you two, you know, the podcast. He really enjoyed his time.
He was just
passing that along.
Noah's the best.
But I was talking to him about the tour this morning, and he said, you know, they're essentially people from every single state coming to this competition. You know, not just all the big ninja names, but any big ninja name that you can think of, they'll be there. And then also, there are people from Australia coming. He said there's a group of like 10 or 15 people from Australia. There's a group from Europe, Canada. Like, this is an international event.
Wow.
And if it plays out like we're hoping it will, if it's a big deal, then yeah, there's going to be a lot more of these to come in the future. So we're all really excited about that event.
That's awesome. Lita, do you have any more questions for Zach?
Am I allowed to ask what brand of eyeliner Taylor uses? Because she had a full face of eye makeup all through the run.
I'm not qualified
for
this.
And it stayed perfect. It stayed totally intact. She should be a spokesperson for waterproof mascara and eyeliner.
Oh my gosh. I can actually get back to you about that, but that's certainly... That's not something that I have down in my notes. I didn't ask about that.
Oh, man. I'm asking the hard-hitting questions. I'm trying to dig deeper here.
And, you know, from a superficial standpoint, you know, that was another perk of being teammates with Taylor. Like, she's got it all. She's athletic. She's, you know, good-looking. You know, she just was a total package. And, yeah, I am baffled with that just the same. I don't know how she kept herself together throughout that entire competition. And, okay, this is even more impressive. We were the only team to do all of our runs in one day.
Oh, wow.
So they did episodes 1 through 3 on the first day, and then they did episode 4 and the finals on the second day. So when you're seeing her in those last couple of runs, she's already done that entire first episode, and she still has her face on. It's amazing.
Wow.
Yeah, she was so fun to watch.
I might have fallen in love with her slightly while watching the episode, but we don't need to tell her that.
Yeah. You're not alone. I mean, people would, some of my closest friends, some of like the people that I grew up with around my high school, you know, they weren't asking me about the finals or like the competition. They're like, so your teammate, is she available? And like one of my family members actually asked me, they're like, so are you dating her? Like, if you're not, you should be. Just like, nah, and I have a girlfriend, okay? Like, she's also in college. I'm obviously much older. This was a point of controversy. Like,
scandal.
There's this age difference here. But
So what you're telling me is that I have a lot of competition.
You if you don't now, you will soon. You know, she's bound for big things.
I hope so. She's pretty awesome. This was awesome. You were great.
I really appreciate you guys giving me the opportunity to do this, to, you know, talk about the experience, maybe give you a little bit of insight, you know, behind the scenes. But yeah, I thank you guys for all of this. This has been great.
I feel like you defended yourself well. I feel like maybe we need to erase the asterisk. Maybe Team Wisconsin, justifiable win.
Okay, cheese steroids or no cheese steroids? I have a question for you guys.
Okay.
If it works out, would you support us coming back next year for College Madness Season 2 to defend our title? How do you feel
absolutely.
About that?
I mean, you have to. I feel like the undefeated champion team, like, they have to come back. Like, regardless, like, I mean, like, obviously we're poking fun of you in the previous episode, but like, I mean, even in, like, you didn't have to defend yourself, but what you're saying makes sense too. It's not like you had a huge advantage over anyone else, and it's not like there weren't other teams that could have had athletes that had competed on the show or athletes that were much older.
Other teams had graduate students,
right? Yeah,
guys, when did 27 become so old? I feel like I'm the like, you guys are treating me like I'm a grandfather here. I don't have kids. I don't have a home. Like, I'm still going to school.
Well, that's the joke, right? Like, it's not actually much of an advantage, I don't think. But no, I'm totally with you there. I feel like both you and MIT have to be shoo-ins for the next one if they do another one. Just because I think by far you two were the best teams, and they just need to have like other teams to up their game to match you guys.
Yeah, and if you want to give some hot tips to Michigan, maybe offer some training, that'd be great.
No, I stay in touch with those guys. Team Michigan was definitely one of my favorites.
Oh, you know, nice.
Liv was a sweetheart, and Carl and Joe were, you know, really great. They were awesome.
Oh, that's good to hear.
Speaking of Michigan stuff, I'm pretty sure this is Michigan stuff. I can barely remember, to be honest. But I asked for some comments last time about this whole Hail to the Victors, like Hall of Fame.
Zach, do you know this song? Do you know Hail to the Victors?
I am familiar with it. I don't know all of the words, but I'm definitely familiar with it.
Yeah, you know the tune. Yeah.
Well, he's another person in this Big Ten cult you guys have going on.
Big Ten
cult.
My God, I'm sorry. What league is Emerson in? D4?
The Quidditch League. That's, I told you this already. We got a comment from Olmec on Twitter who said, I want a college football podcast with Lita and Taryn. No, you don't.
Yeah, and Taylor also said that they know the Hail to the Victors song.
I didn't see that part. I think you're making that up.
Oh, Taylor tweeted me.
From Pandemonium on Twitter. Great podcast, Taryn and Lita. I'm with Taryn on the fight songs, and that's from an Illinois alum, Big Ten person. So yeah, that person agreed with me.
Okay.
How about that? And they're in your cult.
Yeah, Illinois. Sure.
I guess. And from Ecker B on Twitter, well, I have heard the Michigan fight song. A Hall of Fame with two members is pretty suspect. More like Closet of Fame. What?
Wow.
What? Yeah, that's right.
I've been burned.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with the Hall of Fame thing. That's a little.
It's in South Bend, I think.
South Bend?
Yeah.
Until you actually visit it and see it and experience it, like, that does not exist. And if it does, it...
Is it like a literal hall where there's just like two buttons and you can play the two songs? Like,
I have no idea. Maybe you should be the designer if there isn't. That's a great idea. An interactive experience.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's probably a lot more than they have. It's probably just some office where they're like, yeah, they have two things listed on a piece of paper.
Oh, you're just a hater.
I'm with you on that one, Taryn.
All right. Yes. See, I knew it. I knew I was in the right on this. So there are a couple things coming up with Ninja Warrior. First is the All-Star Special. Lita, I think you have the information on that.
Yes. So the All-Star Special will be on NBC on February 20th from 8 to 10. So this is was filmed in Vegas last year after the finals, and it includes a skills challenge and a team competition. So I don't have a lot of details about who will be on it, but I can imagine we'll see a lot of the people that we expect. Zach, do you have any insight on the All-Star Special?
I wish I did, and I could definitely get that information, but I've chosen to hide myself from it.
Good choice, yeah. I think. Yeah.
I want to be surprised. I want to enjoy it from my couch on my TV. So I don't have any backdoor information for you. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. So definitely check that out.
Yes, and also the regular Team Ninja Warrior season will be coming up soon. When does that start, Lita? Do you know?
I don't think that there's a premiere date yet, but they did have a promo that said March.
So very soon, yes. That'll be exciting. I like I said before, I feel like Team Michigan needs to be, not Michigan, Team Wisconsin needs to be on. You've invaded my brain, Lita.
Yes, go blue.
Team Wisconsin needs to be on that next Team Ninja Warrior season. There's also a new show called Ultimate Beastmaster that people have been tweeting us about, which is a Netflix show where there's an obstacle course and there's a bunch of different teams from different countries around the world that will be competing. Sounds like it could be interesting. I want to check it out. Maybe we'll do a podcast on it. Who knows? I do know that Yuji Urushihara, the Sasuke two-time champion, most decorated ninja warrior of all time, is going to be competing on that show. That sounds very interesting. And then there's also, I don't know what happened with this USA versus the World special. I don't know if they're still airing it or what's happening with that, but I assume it's going to be on at some point. Do you know anything about that, Zach?
My understanding is that stuff will come out in February, so it should be coming up soon. Okay, cool. I think they want to have this cohesive timeline where there's just ninja on all the time. You know, America wants it, so they're trying to give it to them.
All right.
Yeah, we're down.
I recently dabbled. I tried my hand at making a video. I made a video about the top five TV shows that I feel like are being underlooked, that people need to be watching. I put it up on YouTube, and people can check it out if they want. It's on my YouTube channel, Taryn Armstrong. You can find it on my Twitter. I don't know. I made it, so I feel like I have to plug it, right? I think it's good, right? I get things. These are really cool shows that I think people should be watching. I seriously spent way too much time watching as many shows from this year as humanly possible. So hopefully you'll find it somewhat informative. I don't know.
I hadn't seen any of the shows. I found it informative.
Yeah, there we go.
I'm definitely going to check that out. I'm not awesome. In the know, so you got two viewers right here.
Bam. I'm making it big already.
Okay, and then we have a special podcast appearance coming up. It will be my debut on the Rahappy Hour, and Taryn's 1 millionth Rahappy Hour appearance, probably. We are doing a love cast with Jordan Parhar in honor of Valentine's Day. So Taryn and I will both be on that. I don't think we'll be talking to each other. I think we'll be on separate segments because we have some women weighing in, some men weighing in on your questions. So if you have any love and romance and dating questions, please send them to rahappyhour@robhasawebsite.com. You can email them or you can tweet them to us or to Jordan Parhar. We're really excited to be doing this. So if you want to hear some of the least qualified possible advice, please let me know. What you're having issues with in your dating life. I'll be happy
yes,
to answer.
Please send in I am a relationship expert. You can rely on my expertise and advice. So make sure you send in some good questions. I will solve all of your problems. It'll be a great time.
Yeah, Taryn, the love doctor Armstrong.
Yes.
I am sold. I might have to contact you two offline.
All right, yeah, here we go.
Definitely.
First client. You can find us on Twitter. I'm at Armstrong Taryn. Lita is at Lita Tweeted. And you can find us on iTunes at American Ninja Warrior Rahap Up. That's R-H-A-P up. If you want to subscribe to us there, that would be awesome. You will be, you know, you can automatically download every episode that comes in. It's awesome. You can leave us a review there if you want. Be as honest or funny or kind as you want to be. And that really, really helps us out. And we really, really appreciate it. You can also find us on robhasawebsite.com or tweet at us if you want to talk about the podcast or send in responses like the ones that I read today. Tell me that that you agree with me and that Lita's wrong and that Taryn's right, as always. And I will definitely read your comments if you say those things. Zach, where can people find you?
Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, but you know, search for Zach Kemmer, the Science Ninja.
Awesome. Do you have anything that you want to plug? I know you're involved in a lot of different charity things, like nonprofit things, something or other, science stuff.
I'm not that kind of guy. I don't like to plug too much. I'm just always advocating for some science outreach, helping youth kids that are at risk. And, you know, when you have the opportunity to do something good for your community, your environment, you should do it.
Awesome.
That's all I got.
You're a great guy, man. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. I love this podcast. This was awesome. Zach needs to come on with us some other time.
Absolutely.
Awesome. If he had said no, I would have forced him anyway. thank you all for joining us, and we will see you next time.